All right, now I can't tell who's making what noise there, so I also need something a bit more distinctive. And by distinctive, I mean okay, not a dead silence.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to September, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, I'm Vangelis. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Vangelis.
Hi, TJ.
Hello.
Welcome to September. Welcome to what I would call the end of our three-part Something Terrible Happened on My End trilogy of podcast episodes. Hopefully after this, we'll be rolling back into some regular feeling stuff. But I want to throw, number one, thanks to all of you for waiting, 21st till September 7th. That's 17 days for a podcast to go up. I mean, granted, some interviews went up in between, but 17 days since 370 was recorded and went up. I think I have that right. And then Seth filling in on the week when I really shouldn't have been recording anything, and I didn't, grabbing defos for that. And we're back here. We're going to do a short one with you guys because I'm still wanting to just sort of ease back into this thing. I kind of have forgotten how podcasting works, so... am I doing it right, guys? Is this how we do it, talking into the microphone?
Mostly. Are you wearing pants?
No, I took them off right before we started.
Then you're good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. You're good. You remember the important things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, like riding a bike.
Who podcasts wearing a belt? Nobody. That's who.
People that just get into podcasting that don't know yet, maybe?
They think they have to dress up?
Yeah.
It's
weird.
Like, even
you're
if you're
adjusting a tie...
Even if you're on a webcam, no one's going to look, you know, below your waist. Just roll with it.
You don't know where the webcam is.
Unless it's one of those weird podcasts where you didn't set up the webcam and then it's all like, you know, they're getting just panty shot. But yeah, I want this again. Thanks to everyone for bearing with basically my nonsense, which due to my running most of
it's
the
not
podcast
nonsense.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I know, but it's the way I'm summarizing it. This is proven that we have a single point of error on this setup that we're running, and that is me. But
well, we knew that.
Yeah, I mean that's always been the way. But
knew that for 7 years. Jeez.
But this has been the biggest stumble, I think. Anyway, it's been better than it could be when in a situation where it could be worse. So I'm fortunate for that, and I'm fortunate for the sheer amount of support I've received online, let alone the support I've received offline. So I'm not starving.
Did you get
for
my
it.
Text message that I had to fight to figure out which of the numbers that I had for Vangelis was the right one?
I did. I did get it. I've
because I never got a reply. It should have been iMessage, but it went as an international text message, I think.
Yeah. I think that came when I was at an airport. As well, which is weird. But no, I replied to all the Facebook messages I got, but every other social media, text platform, everything, I haven't gotten to replying to all of it yet, because it took me long enough to do the Facebook messages.
Not to compare your father to my dog's passing, but...
I was able to keep up with everything.
No, I wasn't either. I was going to say that, you know, I think I probably have a smaller following than you do. I don't know what toy videos apparently make you famous to or something.
Yeah.
But it's very, very difficult to track all of that stuff. And especially it's not like it comes at a time that's later when you maybe don't have a whole lot of like other like headspace going on.
Yeah.
Or having to deal with things.
I mean, it's...
And
it's,
that,
it's
again, that's another place where... liking or favoriting a thing is weird.
Well, I can say now that I'm you know, had one of the most direct versions of being on the other side of that conversation. It's, you know, these weird little silver linings you got to take. Like, I've always wondered if you know, in sending a condolence, am I this? If doing this, am I that? Speaking from this side of the coin, I'll lay out a few things. I didn't feel offended by the likes, favorites thing. I just thought it was really funny. That's the language of our social media. It's such a positive reinforcing language that when something terrible happens, it becomes really weird to read in a literal fashion. I've also noticed, and I don't mean this to denigrate anything that I've received, but I figured this might be of interest to people out there, you know, who have not gone through stuff like this before. when you do get a wall of stuff that is mostly, you know, the boilerplate, you know, sorry for your loss, my condolences, the words do kind of gel together after a while, and the ones that aren't the boilerplate do stick out more, but the sentiment of the boilerplate ones still carries through. I've just always wondered that myself as someone who doesn't really know what to say to somebody when they're in a really bad place. And, you know, boilerplate is boilerplate, but nonetheless, the sentiment does carry through, and that was the really, you know, the happy surprise of that. Because, yeah, when you have 20 messages that all say the same thing, no matter where they're coming from, the text of the messages does blur together a lot. But you see the names, and that's really the important thing. And, I've been rich for support myself. I didn't need it nearly as much as another member of my family, but we've come out the other end pretty well so far. It's now entering that part where you feel like it's all over, but that's just because all the business is over. And then the long road afterwards has all kinds of hills and bumps you might not think are going to happen until someone warns you about it, or you can kind of feel the wavelengths of the oncoming atmosphere. So we're going to see how it goes. Speaking for myself, I'm probably going to be okay after some indeterminate amount of time. The thing, actually, I'll just keep on this tangent. The thing that I found the weirdest is partly in a workplace environment, you know that, you know, there's bereavement leave, right? And that, you know, in conversation, there's always the notion eventually of like, oh, I wish that guy would get over it, whatever it is that happened. The attempt to quantify that is so impossible. That like the concept of like a mathematically deduced bereavement leave, for instance, or like, you know, what is the normal period of time before someone should just get over it? It's so insane to actually try to sit down and believe that any of that makes sense, because it's not quantifiable at all. It's so like person to person, and like months could pass, I expect, where you feel fine and then just one little thing will hit you. So the moral of the story that I could pass along to anybody who has not gone through something that bad quite yet, and something that hopefully can help you, is that no matter what is happening to you, you're doing the right thing, because there is no right thing. It is person to person, completely. Anyone who tries to tell you that there's like some normal way to go through this process is probably not speaking from a place of experience, for one, and is probably, if they are, speaking from their own experience, which is not going to be yours, most probably. So, you know, it's a very dark kind of adventure to go through. With that lovely uplifting moral, let's talk about some Transformers news bits. What do you guys think? Or have I just crushed your...
Sounds all right. Let's get back to the normal,
did
man.
Did I just
so
dance all over your rainbows there? I don't know. And get ready, because me and Seth are probably going to talk about this a bit too. I don't know if we'll do it on mic, but, you know, whatever. We're only going to talk about two BotCon news bits, and I just said BotCon news bits because I'm thinking conventions. Two convention dates dropped, TFCon and BotCon, for next year. So let's talk about them briefly here. TFCon Toronto 2016 announced their dates July 15th to 17th at ye good old-fashioned Mississauga Medevale Hotel in the Toronto-ish area. I live there, so I'm probably going to go.
Wait, you live at the hotel?
Yeah, I do. The bereavement gets you some damn good stuff, let me tell you. You leverage those tears the right way. Don't listen to anything I'm saying. TFCon Toronto. I mean, I live in Toronto. It's an $8 bus ride for me to get to the venue, so barring the planet exploding, I'll probably be there. Not to jinx anything here. I mean, you know, let's lay it out. The last time I podcasted with you guys, the next day I lost a family member, so I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, if something happens, I'm going to have to start mathematically deducing this down to you guys.
If hellfire rains down, I'm blaming you.
I didn't do anything, all right? It's between you two and Peking Express Chinese delivery food, which, by the way, don't ever order from them if you're in the Toronto area. I ordered from them, and then horrible things happened within 3 hours of eating that terrible food. But Aaron, DJ, we got TFCon Toronto happening, and the picture with the logo is just like G1 Megatron glaring down at me, and I feel like that's trying to say something, but am I reading too much into it?
A lot of people have thought it's trying to say something.
Am I reading too much into this? Are we going to be getting the voice actor behind Megatron in the Transformers audiobooks, like that one about racing?
The one in the audiobooks, yes.
Because that would be pretty sweet.
Most likely.
That guy's a pretty cool guy. Aaron, how's just, let's not talk about the specific conventions here, but just how's the convention scene looking for you next year? Are you feeling more confident to
next
be able to?
Next year looks a whole lot better. I was optimistic about Charlotte, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just the stuff I was hoping to line up isn't lining up. So 2016, though, will be my triumphant return to conventions.
The year of the Axsmith.
Yes.
And, well, TJ, this is a bit north for you, but just thinking of the fact that other conventions will be happening as well. How's 2016 looking for you? I mean, like, granted, the Florida area has its shows that happen.
Yeah. Around that time of year, I've got my show that I usually go to. I've got so many friends there and commitments there now that, yeah, I kind of have to pick one or the other, and it's always going to be the one that's here.
It should always be the local one, in my opinion. Like, if it just makes more sense. You're not spending close to $1,000 on travel.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Like, I would love the social experience of TFCon, but yeah, there's a few too many obstacles for me to manage it.
Yeah. That's why I'm so fortunate to be in the Toronto area that TFCon is local enough that it's not a trek to get to. So I'm pretty much for sure going to be there because I can't imagine why I wouldn't be. I say all this, by the way, I have now missed my third or fourth consecutive fan expo. I've still never gone. I mean, granted, this time I was on the other coast, but I'm kind of enjoying this new streak I'm building of living in Toronto and not going to any of the downtown conventions. I'm patting myself on the back a little bit for this. It's my new thing I think I'm building up. I'd love to make it an annual thing to like go with Kryn to a place to eat next to Fan Expo every year and watch the crowds as we did one year.
Just almost go every year.
We went to the rotating restaurant in the CN Tower one year and walked past the several million people lined up around the block because Fan Expo had sold out past fire code again. Watching all these wonderful cosplayers in really beautiful costumes sweating to death in the summer Toronto heat and just thinking, this doesn't seem like fun in any way, shape, or form.
if you really want to experience that, come down to MetroCon sometime where people in full fursuits walking around in dead of summer Florida heat.
But at least they can go indoors when they want to, right?
Indoors doesn't help. It's okay. July in Florida. It does not help.
They should turn the air conditioning on.
It's a convention hall with 11,000 people in it.
Get another air conditioner.
I'm sure you can get another one.
Just prop it in the window, plug it in, it'll handle
yep.
it.
Hey man, sometimes that's what you need. I mean, my house has central air, but I still have to have the one up in the bedroom.
Yeah, you know, it's all about that, what is it called? The airflow. You know, following yep. The heat funnels or whatever, those things in the air. The heat funnels. The things that go through the air that carry waves of heat that giant birds can ride on without flapping their wings.
Thermals.
No, they're not called thermals. I'm pretty sure they're called like
Hey, heat somebody else funnels. Talking on this podcast?
I have a fact checker here to check my facts. And as you can
fact
tell,
checking kills podcasts.
I don't actually follow the facts I'm given when they're checked, but you know, I figure like this is a baby step. Anyway, TFCon...
Getting facts wrong is half the fun for the listener. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, then they have something to talk about in the thread afterwards.
Yeah, it's always fun.
TFCon Toronto is happening mid-July. And that's great because the other Toronto convention or Toronto area convention in Hamilton, which is not really the Toronto area, that's happening in late July. So it looks like I can do them back-to-back again. That makes me happy. I just checked that now. I hadn't actually looked into that until about 30 seconds ago. Also announced same day, BotCon 2016, right after I was making fun of another, like generally whenever a Transformers convention announces their dates or pre-registration more than a week in advance, I can't help but poke some fun, not at BotCon so much as at the convention that has their info out early because I start accusing them of things like hacking or, witchcraft, but it seems like BotCon has donned their Wiccan gear and gotten all warlock because they announced 2016's convention in September of 2015. Granted, their show is happening in April, in early April, so it's not a summer show. They're doing a spring one. I think someone deduced this is the earliest BotCon has happened in a year by about
by
10
like
days.
A couple weeks.
Yeah. Week and a half, 2 weeks. Still in April. It seems they've never been in March or earlier. And it's happening in, I'm going to do this on purpose, Louisville, Kentucky. Secret code in the
There's
thread mentioned that if you want to have some...
about a million different ways to say that, and the worst I've heard is Louisville.
Well, you mean Louisville?
You just say it like you have a mouthful of marbles, and,
one
and then everybody rolls their eyes at you.
Secret code in the thread said if you want to have some local fun, walk up to locals and then just start pronouncing Louisville in different ways. And it should be a good old time. A lot of locals in the Kentucky area are pretty jazzed. I know Captured Prey is from that area, and they're pretty jazzed. And apparently there's a whole lot to do in Louisville. So this thing's happening April 7th to 10th. They have hotel registration available, so you can bookmark your spot. And ideally, the thing that happened at JoeCon only will ever happen at that one JoeCon, that time that the entire location changed. But they're apparently going to have convention pre-registration in the coming weeks, which really means anything, because there are plenty of weeks coming. In fact, if you want to think about it the right way, there are technically infinite weeks coming. So sometime before the heat death of the universe, TFCon and BotCon will have their registration up and more information on what they're doing. It sounds like they've confirmed, I'm guessing from the front page item, that Saturday night is going to be a casino night and awards party thing. I know that, if I'm not mistaken, it's not always casino night.
No, they've done two or three different things. And I think it's also like local laws may prevent at times having casino, have gambling for even charity purposes unless you get a ton of permits or whatever. And
yeah,
no, they ain't going to do that.
Yeah, so, you know, there's if you are a fan of the convention casino fun money thing, then there's I guess, your first piece of info about what to do. Right now, let me tell you, I am so bummed that I broke my BotCon streak, but the silver lining is I no longer feel the obligation. It's like when you start throwing out packaging. I say this while repeating umpteen times that I'm still a little heartbroken that I didn't make it to 20 consecutive BotCons, because what a number that would be. But just a lot of various factors have led to it feeling like, I guess, 15 in a row is what I'll have to my name. And I don't feel obligated anymore whatsoever. So I don't know if I'm going to go. If you're in the Kentucky area, I mean, hey, it's in your backyard. It seems like there are a lot of people on the boards in the Kentucky area, so you guys can have the fun Toronto experience of a convention showing up, like, not a several $100 plane trip away. But yeah, that's all the info we have on both those shows, so there's really nothing else to say about them. We'll probably get more info as time goes on, and, you know, it'll pop up here and there. Aaron, tell me about Kentucky. What do I not know about Kentucky?
Well, one of the things is the Jack Daniel's distillery is nearby. You got your Kentucky bourbon.
I guess, but is that worth the plane ride?
Maybe. How much of a drunk are you?
Not as much as some other people. So okay. Maybe I'm the wrong demographic.
One thing you do have to keep in mind is when they say Kentucky bluegrass, there is no bluegrass. It is all green. I've checked.
Holy crap. I'm 500% less interested in Kentucky now. You're telling me the grass is green there even though they call it blue?
Don't make the mistake I did. Like,
isn't that illegal?
I have regrets.
Like, is that not literally illegal?
It's false advertising, to be sure. Yeah.
Okay, I gotta have some words with people from Kentucky. See what this is like. I mean, if you live in a land of lies like that, I don't. If you call it bluegrass, just start dyeing the grass. I mean, anyway.
There's like one guy with a can of spray paint.
Yeah. It's his one job. It's, you know, passed down from the generations. that's about it. Actually, you know what? I'll just throw out here, because we're talking conventions, and I just scrolled down a bit. I don't think we mentioned it. The final, as I understand it, because I'm not sure if this is in contention now, but what I understood to be the final auto assembly took place in August a couple weeks ago. maybe a week and a half ago. Apparently, there's a new Transformers convention starting up next year to fill in that gap called TF Nation. And I'm just going to double check something. I believe that TF Nation announced some staff members. I'm going to go to their website and check their Twitter, because I'm not sure if I'm thinking of the right. Yeah, TF Nation announced their first five crew members. One of those people is David Kal-El Prime, who I've known for several years.
Oh, cool.
And he's one of their main staff people. It sounds like TF Nation will be a good show. So if you're in the UK, you know, keep your eyes open on news about that stuff or other shows happening in the UK. Like, it seems like there are a bunch. The United Kingdom is not the size of, you know, the sprawling wilderness of Canada or the sprawling humanity of America. So, you know, there are, of course, plenty of shows happening there. But I thought that was a nice bit of news to see. There we go. I think we've covered all our continents now. Unless there's an Australian convention starting and I don't know about it. Someone let me know. Anyway, we're going to skip over a bunch of other stuff because this podcast might go up a bit late as we catch up on the other podcasts. And I figure let's be quick. Let's just do some what we got this week. What do you guys think?
Sounds good.
I mean, I admit I totally, you know, went over this with you before we started recording. And that was a rhetorical question. Perhaps rude of me. I apologize.
No, it's okay. I had forgotten in the meantime.
Yeah, no. I mean, you start saying convention enough times, and it's just like, you know, foam just starts coming out of the ears. TJ, did you get any Transformers this last couple weeks?
Yeah, I got a few.
All right.
So, a friend of mine up north actually was nice enough to send me some of the Kreon Warriors, the, like, super crazy, we're making Transformer characters look like medieval warriors and such.
Yeah, did you have to, so this was all stuff already opened?
No, it sent me three brand new bags.
Okay, because I think I talked about this before, that ditching any way of knowing what's inside the bags totally just made me stop buying them. And I don't know what that says, because I like the idea of that set.
The blind bags actually do their function now. Ah, I'm so disinterested.
Yeah, what does this say about why any of us buy blind bags? Anyway, so you did some straight blind pulls then.
Yeah, well, he pulled, but yeah, I blinded.
All right.
That makes sense. For three random pulls, like, he did pretty well. I got a Samurai Megatron, who barely looks like Megatron, but we'll run with it. A Ninja Starscream.
All right.
And okay. I want to say, like, Gangster Soundwave.
Like, what kind of gangster are we talking?
Prohibition era style.
Holy crap, I want that figured. That sounds great.
Okay. He's my favorite. I'll get to him. The Samurai Megatron is bizarre because he's got silver parts. And the samurai helmet kind of looks like the bucket head, but no part of him other than that looks like Megatron. So it's kind of hard to make the connection.
Weird.
But yeah, but it just looks like, you know, it basically looks like Banzai Tron without a few like hits of green paint or something.
I'm digging through some image listings here and I'm taking a look at it. I mean, yeah, like I was going to say, you know, there's plenty of Megatrons they could pull from. This could be any pastiche of them. That does look nothing like Megatron.
Yeah,
at a glance, like the instruction book image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the gold paint that's doing it, because I don't know any Megatron with a gold face like that.
He looks like Grimlock.
He kind of does.
Like, you know, through the Kreon filter anyway.
Uh-huh. The Ninja Starscream is actually really cool. Like he gets like a spiky version of like the Raiden like conical hat. He's using size for his null rays.
I'm trying to find a picture of him. Oh, no, that's not him. Man, I have found two other Starscreams.
That's the weird thing, is because, well, the line itself is just kind of throw together. It's like, okay, what do we have out of, like, Dungeons & Dragons, you know, G.I. Joe, all the other Creo lines that didn't pan out? And we're going to put those parts onto Transformers and give it some kind of weird theme. But because of that, to make it more marketable, it's only the big characters. So Megatron, Starscream, Bumblebee, Optimus, etc.
Yeah.
So it's basically just a bunch of the same core Transformers cosplaying different eras.
And I cannot for the life of me find an image of Ninja Star... Oh, wait. I think I might have found one. And it's the tiniest eBay picture in the world. Hang on. Tell me that this picture will blow up when I... Okay, I see it now. I see him now. And that looks partly like some of the parts count from, like, the Bandit one with the bandana on his face.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking.
But yeah, I see what you mean. The size of Null Rays looks really ridiculous. I like that.
Yeah, here's a little fun one. The cool, though, Soundwave is by far my favorite.
Yeah, I found a picture of him right away. That hair. Yeah.
He has hair. That was the most bizarre thing when I opened that up.
Yeah, and like proper, like you know, what's that stuff you put in your hair back in the 50s?
Oh, like Brill Cream.
Yeah,
like...
Brill Cream.
Oh, yeah.
Gray hair.
Yeah.
The deco on his chest and legs, you know, that's pretty darn cool.
I love that. I love the old school stereo look.
Yeah, like it's like an old timey jukebox with like brass railings around everything.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
I kind of really want like some 1950s Soundwave now.
Like, on the one hand, I'm a little bummed out he doesn't have a fedora to complete the look. But then I sit there just looking at this guy like, this is a base of a great figure. And I kind of wish he was in a bigger set so they could have given him like some kind of soft goods trench coat or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a button man suit, you know, like a made man, double breasted coat or something. Yeah, that's really cool.
But yeah, it looks really cool. I love that he comes with a little laser beak.
Yes.
That's such a perfect touch.
And he has, okay, the quadlingual thing is calling him Wise Guy Bandit Mafioso Gangster Soundwave.
I know. It's, yeah. I love that because it's a four language thing, but it's also something of a vocabulary lesson. Because
as far as I'm concerned, that's his name. Wise Guy Bandit Mafioso Gangster Soundwave. That's perfect.
just like every one of those names all in one. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of love that when I noticed.
Well, how's the... I mean, I'm not expecting an amazing answer, but how do the Creons feel as far as the classic Creon, almost well-built kind of feel?
They feel okay. Like, I don't really have any major complaints. One of the things I normally noticed on Creons is around the wrists, you can see where there's a stress mark just because the plastic can't handle, like, stretching out when the fist goes in.
Yeah.
Not present here.
Excellent.
Right. So I think the plastic quality is actually beefed up a little bit because they don't feel bad at all, really.
Cool. I mean, that's one of the most chronic problems with Creons over the years is like the wrist stress that,
right.
You know, never, I don't know any Creons that have actually cracked chronically, but it never looks nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm. And, I'm also noticing the bird. That's kind of cute.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a little parrot they recolored, but it's such a fun little piece to include.
They gave him almost like the animated laser beak wing dealy of like, I guess animated rat bat in a way, of kind of looking like keyboard keys.
Yeah.
That's really cool. The Tampo one, that looks great. Someday I might try to track him down. I just don't want to go buy them blind unless they're on sale, because like, it said a lot to me when the moment that the codes disappeared, I just didn't even want anything to do with them. Whereas with like Lego minifigures, I'm like, whatever, I'll buy them blind.
Well, duplicates don't really help you out very much. Like there's some of those little Lego figures I wouldn't mind owning more than once.
Yeah. I mean,
just shoot for it. Why not?
Yeah. I opened some series 13 a couple days ago and I got two of the workmen with the 2x4. And I felt fine with that, because, hey, now I've got 2 2x4s and, like, 2 hacksaws. Any other Transformer stuff on your end?
I just the other day grabbed a Deployer Fracture.
Oh, that's the... Okay, yeah, the Minicon shooting one.
Yeah.
I think I talked about that a couple weeks ago. How are you finding him?
He's about what I figured he'd be. Like, super simplified figure for the sake of that gimmick.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised at how involved the gimmick actually is.
Yeah. Like the arm pointing thing, I was not expecting until I actually worked it.
Well, the arm pointing thing is one thing, but it's also the fact it goes down his leg, because like behind his hip is the switch that actually unlocks that whole structure in robot mode.
Yeah.
So it actually makes sure that you have to plant this down on a desk or a floor in order to actually launch this thing off.
Yeah, yeah. Is it working all right for you? Have you had no problems shooting whichever of the two he came with?
He came with Slipstream.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the one I was hoping he'd come with. I couldn't remember which one he actually came with, but he came with one, the little spider leg guy.
Yeah.
So he was a neat one to get. He fires fine. Like it's a really like really animated gimmick for like typically I expect these like to be like real cheapo kind of simplified things, but
mm-hmm.
like he transforms okay, like enough to convince me he is some kind of Cybertronian bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not too upset there. I wasn't expecting heavy articulation. You know, I really like Fracture, so I just wanted a Fracture that looked good with the other deluxes.
Probably the biggest Fracture you'll be able to get that looks any good. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Unless Takara, like, I just saw that picture of their version of, you know, season finale Bumblebee.
Yeah.
As opposed to the one surprised. We got over here.
Yeah, I saw those repaints.
Yeah, I did too. That Bumblebee is the saddest thing. And then Japan's like, hey, we're going to give him like a translucent chest, a new head, the yeah. actual weapon he had in the show.
Yeah, I mean, you see Takara is like, new head, we got translucent chest, a brand new sword, and over here at Toys R Us is like, hey, you remember Allspark Blue?
Yeah, and then I'm sitting here just going like, wow, have I become that like early 2000s fandom scumbag who's just championing all the Japanese releases? But it looks amazing. And between that and that, you know, the retooled Voyager Grimlock they're doing, I'm like, hey, maybe they'll be the ones to satisfy my need for, you know, at least Steeljaw's pack in some form that has any budget to it.
I don't even know Takara anymore. They're just kind of going off the rails and doing their own thing now.
I'm so happy they're doing anything with Adventure, because that would have been easy to just, you know, just let it happen, you know, add some paint to what we got and you know, there you're done. I forgot who it was. It's not Yuki. It's, I think, I forgot who it was. I think it might be Hasui was tweeting a lot more pictures of Adventure stuff lately. Tweeted a group picture with the Voyager Grimlock.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Yeah, and it makes me feel like there's an excitement for the actual character designs over there, and that might be what's predicating all this extra, you know, time and budget going into Adventure, when it could have just been, you know, the children's line.
Yeah,
over there.
Right.
But going back to Fracture, okay, I gotta ask you. So we've got this guy that can shoot a Minicon really well, right?
Yeah.
Do you think the Minicons would have really completed that experience if they also spring load transformed when they hit the ground?
Not necessarily. Since it's mostly designed to slide them across the floor, I'm not exactly sure how you'd calculate that gimmick out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with the way they work now. Like, automorphing things typically get on my nerves like that, just because I feel like I'm not involved with what's going on. Like, there's something more neat to me to, like, okay, I'm pulling out his arms and, like, his head is revealing and all four of his legs are splaying out as I'm doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I spring-loaded automorph, no. Like, geared automorph, I'm okay with.
Because I looked at him and I was like, so we have this guy who can throw his minions really well, but then I have to hand-transform them. And then, 3 years ago, we had a Soundwave who could not really shoot his minions that well, but holy crap, did they auto-transform when they hit the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, what would it be like if we had the two extremes put together in some way? Like, I feel like we got, like, half of one equation, then we've got half of, you know, the other half of the equation, and we haven't quite lined up, you know, the X's and Y's quite yet.
The hard part about that is, on Soundwave, I can kind of see that, because at least when you fire it off, like, Ratbat or Laserbeak, it had a good chance of landing right side up and actually looking intentional.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything right. robotic just falls on its face, and it looks like a total accident. Like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, Eject got drunk that night, Blaster, so he just kind of tumbled out of your chest, and he's face down on the ground now.
Yeah, this weird, like spasmodic cartwheel as he hits the ground head first, and... I'd like to see maybe in Titan Wars or whatever. It would be cool if there was like just some single gimmick toy who could throw as well as Fracture and Drift and have minions that then spring transform as well as like Ratbat and Laserbeak. I feel like it would be kinetic, you know?
There's a halfway point there. You never know.
But I agree with you. Fracture, for a toy that does what he does, he transforms really well, all things considered.
Yeah.
Tabs everywhere. I was really happy about that.
Yeah. I was surprised that it transformed that well in any length, considering how much of his bulk is taken up by the gimmick. I really wish the gimmick could fold to his back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm not using it.
Because apparently, like, you know, by all reports, Drift is a lot smoother to look at. But yeah. Drift has another toy.
I have a Drift. Yeah, that's the problem.
Aside from Fracture, and anything else on your end, Transformers-wise?
Transformer-wise, that is it. I'm still waiting for everything else in the world to come out.
Yeah, I was hoping that, you know, Combiner Wars Wave 4 might come out Canada side by now, but so far, no dice. Yeah. Aaron, what about you? What's transforming on your end?
I picked up the fourth of the Masquerade limbs, in Prowl, and I'm amazed at how well he fits with the, like, primary color Sunstreaker, Ironhide, Mirage, and then Prowl all in white.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. And I'm kind of thinking about getting the white prime now because it's so dumb, because I saw that he already has the fixed hips and everything's cool.
Yeah, apparently...
Or something.
Apparently white prime, Takara Motor Master, and the Motor Master's shipping with white prime all have the, like, you know, all the ratchets are moved 45 degrees, hip ratchets, so he actually stands right. Because the question's been bounced around, I'll say it here. The non-F, the Glaug hips are still an upgrade in that they actually add double the amount of ratchet points. It's just that now at least the basic toy can stand in his intended A stance. So
have to be straight down or really splayed.
Yeah. So if you're still, like, hemming and hawing on those gears, they are still adding something. It's just that now the base toy is not flawed on an engineering level, but it's really cool to see, and it also has made me a bit more interested in that white prime, because I'm like, the Optimus Prime version holds together better in torso mode than the Motor Master version, due to the molding of those arm tabs. So, like, I want more torsos and limbs altogether. But Prowl's feeling good.
Just all the torsos, all the limbs. Yeah, Prowl feels good. He feels just as good as, like, Streetwise did.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's kind of a shame that they're both really close to looking the same.
Yeah. I'm trying
to figure out where Streetwise got to.
I'd like to see the two of them done up in, like, a full Repper Labels kit out to see if that does anything to help really set them apart. Like, because the Repper Labels for Streetwise look pretty cool, and I wonder if, like, a Prowl Repper Label set that just adds a whole lot more, like, text and yellow to him,
right,
might do something.
Yeah, that's I think that some text on it, and potentially maybe even stickers that change the appearance of the lines might go well. Like, if one, like, pulls up the weird like vent scoops on the hood.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That might go far.
Yeah.
But that, and then, so I had pre-ordered the Masquerade Wave on Big Bad Toy Store, and when I found it, I thought I had canceled my pre-order, but it turned out that I hadn't canceled my pre-order.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
So I was like, okay, well, I can cancel the pre-order, but then I end up with Big Bad Toy Store credit. And I put a call out on Twitter to say, like, hey, I've got about $75 in store credit. What should I get? And I had a whole bunch of people say Bumblebee, Masterpiece Bumblebee. And I had some people say Gold Bumblebee. And then I had them fight. And Gold Bumblebee came out on top.
Really?
And so I got the G2 Bumblebee. Yeah. The biggest thing, what's the difference between them? The exosuit?
Yeah, one has an exosuit, Daniel, one has a jetpack, and the other faceplate. Like, the cool faceplate.
And costs, like, $12 less or something.
Really?
Yeah, the Masterpiece Bumblebee was less expensive.
I never even noticed.
I want to say it was, like, $10 or so.
Huh. Weird.
But, Yeah, so those two things together was enough to kick it over to the Golden Bumblebee. And the second step of the transformation had me giddy. I was showing everybody around, like, look at this!
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look at this! Look at this! Ah! And I'm not going to ruin it for people because I think it's really neat. Get to experience that yourself.
That's a smart Robin moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just double checking. I can't believe there's like a $10 price difference between the two of them. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess it does because it's less moving parts.
Yeah, I guess Daniel really, like, I just figured, like, Daniel broke down into that those jetpack pieces and the extra faceplate. But yeah, there's more hinges on him and stuff, so I guess it makes sense. And he's also wildly out of scale with Bumblebee in several ways, so.
Right. Plus, I mean, I don't know what they were original price release.
Yeah.
Because I could see the two of them being the same cost on release, but people want the G1 yellow more than they want the G2 gold.
For sure.
And so then you have the demand side of supply and demand.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, if you don't have any attachment to, you know, having an animation-accurate shelf, like, the G2 gold is a lot sharper to look at in person.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah. Did you sticker one side of his flippity thing?
I have not yet.
I haven't done any of those stickers yet.
Partly because I don't know what color I'd... Or not color, which one I'd want to do. And then also, I kind of am not terribly fond of stickers like that sometimes.
Yeah,
and
I mean...
just like, I'll just leave him bare gold. Looks fine.
I'm just going to, you know, because this is going to happen to you in the thread and on Twitter and everything, I'll just say, like, on one side of that panel, the G2 symbol, it's worth it.
I'm thinking about it, but...
Yeah. I've heard that all of his other stickers are total garbage to place, and there's not enough room for any of them.
Yeah, so... that's what it looked like. Some of the... I even forget what they were, but yeah.
Well, like, one of the...
I could see maybe... One of them looks like they're supposed to be a license plate sticker, but... The size that it's given on that license plate doesn't look very large.
I think I don't have it with me over here on the West Coast, but what I recall reading is that one of them is supposed to be, you know, his name tag on the bottom of the foot of the G2 toy, but there's no room for it on the bottom of the foot of the Masterpiece toy.
Right, because he has wheels there.
Yeah, it's like, what's it for? I don't know.
And I really liked how the gun and spare tire... fit underneath as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when I saw the gun storage part, I'm like, okay, but I was kind of surprised with the spare tire because that seems like a either have it on thing or have it sitting back in the box because it has like the place for the license plate to fit inside of there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought that was the way that you store it or you put this piece back in the box, you know, either or.
Well, having it on the bottom, the only downside to that is it made me a whole lot pickier about his faces not having anywhere to store. I can't tell you where they'd store. Like, maybe on the inside of some of, you know, his backpack or his belly.
Maybe like, where, like, I don't know about when he's as a robot, but as a car, I bet as you close up the back around his head, you could, like, toss the faces in there before you fold the arms in, maybe?
Most probably, yeah. I think it was on the inside of that rear shell that turns into his backpack. I was, like, a couple tabs in there just to pop the faces in for storage. Like, I had that same thing about Masterpiece Magnus, where I was, like, if there was just, like, a place to stick, you know, the Matrix hands or something. And there are places to stick them, if you wanna. It's just not, like, super nice. Like, when everything, like, when there's, like, dedicated storage to some unnecessary accessories, but not all of them, for some reason it makes me start getting, like, really dumb in how picky I get. And I'm like, I want all of his stuff to store on his body in ways that make him have his own face on the inside of his backpack. Why can't I?
Yeah.
That's cool. I've had that happy ending with forgetting I had a Big Bad pre-order before. I was like, hey, if I forget I spent the money, now I have some store credit.
Yeah, yay.
That is
it for my Transformer gets. And I've really only had Bumblebee for about 2 days. So I've gone through two or three transformations, and I have the feeling he's going to be a desk toy for a bit.
Mm.
Maybe even a I finally take one to work toy.
He's very much made for it. He's just a lovely size, lovely transformation. I like that toy a lot. I got no new Transformers really in my world this week. Although being here in Victoria, I've been breaking down some boxes I've had for way too long for no good reason. Most recently a bunch of Galaxy Force boxes. And before I broke them down, I figured let's maximize these. So I pulled out all the toys that go with them and filmed like the intro of a video review shot and some packaging shots, just so I had like the packaging archived in a way. And got me to mess around with some Cybertron toys again. And, it's easy to forget. Cybertron was a friggin' good toy line. I was messing around with the Cybertron Defense Trio. The three hero guys who get their bodies upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
Bat Guild is a damn good toy. I can't remember his name in America. Scattershot, I think.
Scattershot.
Yeah. I loved on the Japanese packaging remembering how stupid their names got when they got their bodies upgraded.
Yeah.
Bat Guild, First Gunner, and Exe Gazer, whatever those mean.
I still don't know how you're supposed to pronounce that.
The katakana is Exe Gazer. That's how you say it. And it's spelt, with an EY, Exe Gazer or Geyser. I don't know. But they feel super solid. I mean, granted, I have the Japanese versions, and I don't know if at the time that meant like slightly better tolerances all around or whatnot. But they felt great. I only really transformed Bat Guild because he's still one of my favorite Transformers ever. And I remembered how much I liked Flak back at BotCon 09. So that was fun. And I dug around. I pulled out Inch Up after we talked about him 2 weeks ago. Ran him through his transformation. Still a damn good toy.
Does he only go up by an inch?
That's his force chip ignition makes his well, actually he goes down about an inch when you force chip ignition him. I'm not going to drag all those toys back to Toronto with me or anything, but like the Unicron trilogy boxes I've got over here are kind of like this fun thing I can always dig around in every time I come back home. It made me happy. But I did go off topic a little bit on Force Friday, when I spent most of that midnight drop, 9 p.m. over here, just watching all of my friends on Twitter talking about their Force Friday experiences. Then I went out the next day and just walked into an EB Games, thanks to actually some Victoria collectors I bumped into at Mayfair Mall. Just walked into EB Games, much like with the Mortal Kombat X toys, and the whole Black Series 6-inch line was just sitting there at retail. After, I saw the hollowed out carcasses of those sections at Walmart and Toys R Us. So I got myself Krylon Ben, the new bad guy with the three blade cross hilt, whatever. And I got a stormtrooper. I wanted to get two stormtroopers. I'm still going to keep my eyes open for a second one, but they actually didn't have two stormtroopers. They instead had three Krylon Bens, or as I like to call them, Cyclone Ken. The stormtrooper, as far as I understand it, is the same one that people were punching each other over at San Diego Comic-Con this year, just in a different box. It's a really nice action figure that is really bad at getting into stormtrooper poses. All these Black Series Force Awakens figures have got single-jointed elbows, and the stormtrooper single-jointed elbows, the sculpt gets in the way so much, it's frustratingly close, but not able to get into a natural I'm holding my gun with two hands kind of pose.
Right.
However, if you don't need him to do like actual stormtrooper poses, holy crap, he's fun. Like he can do really neat stuff. He's got just a lot of subtle poses and a lot of like kind of I'm a cool guy with like single-handed guns kind of poses. Just none of that actually means stormtrooper to me. So that's the only bummer. I also like that he's got like a little like undocumented on the packaging, as far as I could see, holstered gimmick for either his pistol or his rifle on one of his thighs. And the design is neat. I'm not a very picky person with my Star Wars designs. I think it looks pretty cool. But Cyclone Ken, the new bad guy, holy crap. He has a whole lot of soft goods like cloth stuff for his robe. And okay. I'm sure you guys can attest how much smack I've talked on 6-inch Black Series when it comes to soft goods and how it's terrible at doing soft goods. Emperor Palpatine's robe is a monstrosity. these soft goods, not only do they have like an accurate texturing to the textile, but they're extremely well done and they hang with a kind of weight. And the hood is stitched in a way where it looks damn cool. It's a little adjustable and it's like a separate soft goods piece that is like invisibly fused to his head. So when you turn his head left and right, the hood moves with it. So he's not just looking into the side of the inside of his hood. And he's, you know, very decently poseable figure, holds his lightsaber well. The blade on my lightsaber, I'm not having a problem with it falling off, but I actually haven't taken it off the hilt either, and I don't really intend to for quite a while, if ever, and I'll probably glue it back on once I do.
Yeah, that's a good way. It's good as long as you don't move it. Don't move it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, is like once you take it off, it has trouble getting back on. And it's I mean, the sculpt is kind of dumb because they wanted to make the three blades one piece, so there's all this like just frills of energy arcing between the three things. Mm-hmm. I don't think it looks terrible. I don't think it looks good enough to want to stand up for. The Kmart exclusive is going to just have two lightsabers where the blades are all separate. I think that does look better, but I don't think this one looks like, you know, I'm going to take three whole points off the 10 score on this toy kind of thing. Like, I don't feel the need to defend it, but it doesn't really bother me that much. So I was able to go out on Force Friday and get the two toys I wanted. I saw plenty of, what's his name, the new hero, and I guess a new Chewbacca they made right after they put out another Chewbacca in Black Series earlier this year. I also saw the female character at EB Games, and she comes with the ball droid. But I've recently come to terms that when it comes to Star Wars, when I want toys of Star Wars characters, generally it's just cool people in armor. That's kind of, you know, I have simple tastes. That's all I really want. So I'm kind of just waiting to find a second Stormtrooper and then hopefully find Black Series Captain Phasma, along with whatever other, you know, First Order Stormtrooper variants they do, so I can just have my little First Order squad and I'll be satisfied. I don't know anything else about this actual movie. I've not kept up with any spoilers and I don't really plan to. It looks like a movie I'd like to go watch, so I've not, you know, gone out of my way to suddenly turn into a hardcore Star Wars fan in the last 3 months. I'm a happy casual and I've got some cool toys. Aaron, did you do anything off topic? Did you perhaps engage in the Force Friday festivities?
I kind of went out Force Friday afternoon.
How could you resist? Like, how could you resist?
Cause I actually had to work on Friday.
What? It's a national holiday. And what are you talking about?
And then, I went Saturday kind of looking for BB-8 because everybody had them and I thought it looked really neat, and I think thankfully wasn't able to find one, so I got past the oh my gosh, I gotta get one too point of things. So,
at this point then I can tell you that apparently Bed Bath & Beyond was the place to go to get that little thing.
I went to Bed Bath & Beyond. They had the kiosk,
no.
But none of them.
Okay. I see the appeal. But I guess I'm really fortunate that I don't see the appeal for me. I understand right. The appeal.
Yeah.
But it completely went past me. Like, I think it is cool, but I feel like I'm getting what I need out of it by watching videos of it. It's very impressive tech, and they are going to sell plenty this year.
I like the story of, you know, Sphero getting their stuff off of the ground, and then they get contacted. Like, hey, we'd like you to do a thing. And the story that I heard was like, hey, we'd like you to do a thing, but first you need to sign all of these NDAs before we can tell you what the thing is. And they're like, I don't know about that. And then this is Lucasfilm, and we are making a movie that's a continuation of another movie. You may have heard it, but we're not going to say anything until you sign this NDA. And then it was like, how many signs? Yeah. Where do we got to sign? What's going on?
Yeah. Hi, we're Disney. Sign everything.
Yeah,
maybe you've heard of us. We print money. Aaron, do you think, I mean, if you see one, do you think that all this talk about getting over is going to fly out the window?
I'm past it.
We'll see.
I'm pretty sure if anyone in the podcast is going to break down, it's going to be me.
Did you go out on Force Friday?
I went on Saturday to see the aftermath.
Doesn't count then.
I think it doesn't count.
I think you're past it already.
I wanted to see. No, I'm so into the tech on that toy.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to say, if anyone out there, if you really want that toy, think about Tickle Me Elmo and how hard he was to get the next year.
That's what I say about anything on Force Friday. It's like, this is going to be clogging every shelf in a month.
Yeah, and this conversation's gone on. I'd love to talk about this for just a minute, like, in our recording. But, you know, there's plenty. I've read an article on IO9 about how disappointed the author was that all the toys were sold out and he was in line and et cetera. And I actually do feel for people who lined up and bought into the hype and then got in there and a lot of the toys were gone. But a very good point's been made in a lot of different parts of the internet I'm reading, which is look at how poorly a lot of movie toy lines have sold in the last few years as far as, like, remaining on shelves well past their window.
Yeah.
I don't blame any retailer for under-ordering on Star Wars toys, because guess what a toy line that's eaten up a ton of shelf space for a while has been? Star Wars Black Series Wave 2. It's a shame when people can't get what they want on the day they want it, but I'm not surprised that, you know, the days of episode, I'm assuming the days of episode one's big drop, you know, there being plentiful product everywhere, I'm not surprised that's not the case this time around. But I mean, if you're upset, rest assured you're going to be able to find what you want, especially if the movie ends up being good and, you know, these toys keep selling out for the next couple weeks as late shipments come in. You're not going to have trouble finding stuff if you don't need it right now. I'll share a great story off Twitter. A friend of mine, Type V3, Vince, went to a Canadian Force Friday. He got his two Stormtroopers. It cost, you know, just about $50 plus tax. Got to the parking lot. Someone ran up to him and said, "I'll give you $100 for those two." Guess what he did? He went home with profit on Force Friday.
Yep.
And then that basically became his ticket to a Figarts Captain Phasma if he wants. So don't rush and don't be silly. Like, I'm kind of surprised that the hype is still working on a lot of longtime collectors.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of us who have been in this since the late 90s, early 2000s have kind of been through this rigmarole.
I feel like there's still this casual group that still remembers the 90s but doesn't remember the collector's crash of everything because of oversaturation, because everyone's buying everything. Like, it's a different market today. Like, if they keep selling, they'll keep making. Like, as long as they are selling, they like money too.
I mean,
they will make more.
There will be rare toys now and then, but you're not going to have a rare toy line, especially if it's a popular subject matter.
And it's not worth even hunting down, because you'll never know what that rare one's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this with Age of Extinction in the Canadian area, when there was a guy trying to sell even the Titan toys for like 50% markup, because he bought everything on day one when it came out a bit early in the Ontario area. And I was like, this is really dumb, because you're going to just be sitting on those for ages. I have no idea what happened with that fellow. But Random Factor tweeted something when he went out and, you know, found himself a Cyclone Wren. He was in line and the guy in front of him had just a cart stuffed full of everything Star Wars and was loudly lecturing the cashier to not damage anything, because this is all going to be worth something someday. And it's like some guy who I guess had been in like hibernation for the last 10 years. Because I went by a collectible shop in Victoria after I picked up my stuff, and I was catching up with some of those guys, and I mentioned, like, yeah, EB Games has a Star Wars toys, and the two guys working in the store kind of went like, hey, should we go out and get some of that stuff to sell in the store for some markup? And they kind of looked at each other and were like, no one's gonna buy it, and they just decided not to. And I was like, that's pretty smart, because if you guys had gone out and bought like two of every Black Series and were trying to sell them for 30 to 40 50 bucks, you probably would have ended up just sitting on them for a while with, you know, nothing to show for it. Stuff like Toy Hunter, I think, has made a lot of people who aren't super close to our world think it's still like, you know, the fictionalized version of it, where, you know, people don't open their toys and everything's an investment. Mm-hmm. And this is not how it works anymore.
Well, people remember the big news stories. Oh, hey, a Superman comic sold for $700,000. So now they think everything will sell for $700,000.
Yeah,
look, my mid-90s 1.0 comic after a reboot that they made $80 billion of must be worth that much money, too.
Oh, yeah. When Superman died, my dad went out and grabbed that white poly bag issue of his, like, rebirth. Like, when he came back to life and they introduced all four new Supermen.
Yeah.
And he's paid like $20 at a comic book thing they had at the mall that day to get this priceless copy that will be worth so much one day. I took a look at it on eBay a few months ago. $15.
Yeah. Like, when people see the news stories about, you know, this comic sold for so much or this one toy sold for so much, what they need to realize is most probably that was the one that would sell for that much. The buyer who would pay that has now got it and is no longer on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, let's bring it back here. Aaron, you didn't get any Star Wars stuff, but did you get anything else off topic this week?
Yes, I did. I bought Metal Gear Solid 5.
You did.
For the Xbox One, because everybody was talking about it, and they're like, yeah, it's got this stuff, and it sounds really neat, and I'd seen a few reviews, and it's like, it's my dark secret, is I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game before.
La-li-lu-la-lo.
Okay.
I get it.
And I thought, hey, I'll give it a try. And
the last game in the series. Time
yeah,
to crack
why not?
This thing open. I like that.
Why not?
It's going to make it real memorable for you.
Yeah.
Especially there's a whole lot of stuff that I've had to.
It's man, Kiefer Sutherland Snake, and... too. So it's like your first man. Snake experience is going to be like the new guy.
This Kojima guy had a good thing going. Too bad he quit so early.
No, I've heard a lot about Megan. I've watched some of them as like all of the cutscenes kind of grafted together, and I've had to a few times. Like, they keep saying this certain thing. I probably need to look this up and see what I'm missing out of context a few times, but it's all right. He's got a giant weird thing sticking out of his head from an explosion that happened 9 years ago, because it's always 9 years ago, 9 years ago, 9 years. I don't know how many times I've heard the phrase 9 years ago in this game so far,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like 3% in. And sending people up into the sky on balloons tethered to themselves is pretty fun, too.
That is the best thing I've ever seen in those games.
I realized that two or three times that I have done, like, the wrong thing because I just want to Fulton everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a time, like, I see something, I get killed, fight and get killed. I'm like, man, there's just no way to get... Oh, wait a second, I have a sniper rifle. Crack! Okay, that guy's dead.
Have you started faltering animals?
A few, yes. I just got the upgrade that lets me get small equipment Fultoned. So I can Fulton the, like, mortars and machine guns, but I can't, like, the gun emplacements.
That game makes me wish I had a next-gen console, because it sounds super fun.
You should get a next-gen console.
It also came out on the last generation! And my PC probably can't run it, because my PC had enough trouble with... And maybe this was Warner Brothers' fault, but my PC had enough trouble trying to run Mortal Kombat X.
Warner Brothers' fault. That game had a few issues.
Yeah, but I feel like a 5-year-old PC might have some troubles running...
MGS5.
So it's still not enough to make me actually want to go out and get a console, but it's added to the list of things I'd love to play whenever I perhaps finally do. But it sounds like a super fun game by all accounts. So, and it sounds like it's full of really stupid Kojima stuff by all accounts as well.
Yes,
which is what I
expect. I've seen plenty of things that are just totally super dumb.
Like I feel like there are lots of debates over the direction Metal Gear Solid has gone, and I feel like it's gone in the direction it was always going to go. It just didn't look like that early on. I'm unsurprised by anything I see anymore. So as far as that, like, whatever. But I want to play that thing sometime. I've been very happily unspoiled on a whole bunch of stuff so far. I guess I just miss it when people start yelling stuff. But I hope that it's a fun experience for you, Aaron.
It's been pretty fun.
I hope that you can make that pain turn into vengeance.
I'm working on it.
9 years ago, if you turn on that 17-minute track, Elysia, that was like my favorite part of those trailers, was being introduced to that song. That's a really cool piece of music.
Yeah, there is a lot of good like ambient music going on, and then occasionally I'll find a modern track. Or I guess it's not modern. It's all supposed to be mostly 80s music, except for the one that's like the 1999 digital remaster.
Yeah.
And whatever it's supposed to be, 86. It's got the future.
Yeah.
There's a trick in the music. I won't even spoil it if you haven't gotten to it, but it makes for some really hysterical moments.
I'm looking forward to that game getting just cracked open, because it sounds like it's just a nice, thick, meaty, like... Maybe not a good Metal Gear game, but just a big, thick, meaty sandbox to play with. Also, yeah, Fultoning everything sounds hilarious. But aside from that, Aaron, anything else on your end?
Nope.
All right, TJ, I'm assuming that you had as much, especially if you went out on Saturday, you haven't really got any Star Wars stuff to report.
Actually, my Toys R Us was pretty loaded. Like, aside from the action figures being pretty much bare, there was plenty to pick from. I'm just not a Star Wars toy guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think you saw it too, but I did get tempted by some of those Hero Mashers. I forgot, but then I remembered as soon as I saw it that when they did the panel at, I think, San Diego, they said to the collectors, "Here's Hero Mashers Jar Jar Binks. We made you a Jar Jar you can rip to pieces." Maybe you'll, and like that's the predication behind its existence makes me happy, but I still don't want to actually pay proper price for Hero Mashers.
Yeah.
So I walked away, but
yeah, that makes me happy. I saw that one. I tweeted out a photo with that exact caption. It was like, I didn't realize that really was a thing.
Well, and I'm not going to tempt you, but I also saw pictures for Hero Mashers Darth Maul, where he's got like his robot legs and his robot spider legs.
Oh, geez.
Jar Jar Binks with robot spider legs sounds pretty cool to me. I did see something I might go back and get, given how many people on Twitter told me it was awesome. But you know those Lego Star Wars things that aren't kits for sets, but they're kits to build like Bionicle style action figures?
Oh, yeah, I saw those.
I saw the General Grievous, who I didn't know existed. He was like $45 in Canada plus tax, so I was like, I don't know about this. But people were telling me he's like over a foot tall, and on the packaging, from what I saw, he has the General Grievous like arm separation gimmick, but like done with Bionicle joints, which means it could be really damn cool. So I might go back and look for him sometime at a proper Lego store when I can utilize points. Because a lot of people, I mean, you know, three, but to me that's a lot, replied to my question about him with, "I've got him and he's awesome." So he's in my sights now. But did you do anything else off topic this week?
Yeah, I did, actually.
All right.
Oh, my off topicing is all about toys you have to build yourself. I almost like threw in like the Weaponeers, Optimus and Megatron homages as like, this is my third party gets for the week, but
I still need to order those. I will.
Yeah,
but
they're fun. I recommend.
I still need to order those.
No, I finally got around to building my Lego Milano.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's playing with Star Wars toys here. I'm building Guardians of the Galaxy. Fun little set. Like, I like these big hunks of spaceship that I'm putting together. The wings, this really crazy assembly to them. And I like little touches like the stereo being in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun little kit. And well, I have my little Lego Dave Bautista now.
I like that, like with that set and the polybag Rocket Raccoon, and then I think maybe one other one. Like, I can just have the main character cast, you know, with Pot Plant Groot just in the ship.
Yeah, well,
and they all fit in there.
You need Pot Plant Groot because the real Groot doesn't fit in there.
Exactly.
So that's the one thing that bugs me, is that like there's no Groot that's like proper scale.
Yeah.
All you have is giant Groot.
I just like that I can have like, you know, the end of the film cast in the ship, you know, as like just a contained experience.
Yeah.
There's something nice about that.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice big ship too. Like I don't normally build big ship Lego sets because I don't know where I would put them other than to break them down, bag them, and build them again some other day.
The biggest problem with all the big ships I have, that being like three, but that's still a really big problem.
Yeah, because like there's Star Wars sets I get. Like, I'd get a Millennium Falcon if I knew what the hell I'd do with a Millennium Falcon.
Fishing line from the ceiling, just give in and start populating your ceiling with Lego.
I've sincerely thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, I've got this little display over my TV where my modulars are, and I have this, like, nice mental image in my head of here's the Palace Cinema, and here's, like, the big mall set, and, oh, there's an X-Wing flying overhead.
Yeah, exactly. I'm helping.
As you always do. But that was a fun build. Actually, what I went out for afterwards, because I wanted to see the devastation of my Toys R Us, severely disappointed that there was none.
Yeah, that's crazy, because I mean mine had stuff, but there was still a huge hole in the wall. Like, it had a full stock of like roleplay weapons and Hero Mashers and a bunch of diecast vehicles, but the 4-inch and 6-inch was just gone. Like, gone.
Yeah. There was still a little bit of 6-inch here.
Man.
Like, probably a little bit of leftover from the previous stock, but
yeah.
But like I could generally find things that of those characters if I really wanted them.
I just, all I could find was, as far as 6-inch, was Chewbacca, basically. And I didn't even realize, because I kept thinking, like, why is there an original series character in this first wave? And then I was like, oh, right! But,
The big mission I went on for Toys R Us was to grab myself a Lego Wall-E.
Oh, yeah, that came out.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I had it in hand and put it back because I'm going to try and get it at the Lego store and get points.
Mm. It's a worthwhile gamble. Like, I had nothing
wrong
with that.
And it was rough.
Oh, my God.
I can hear the sweat going down your forehead right now as we...
This is the most fun I've had with a Lego build. That was me sitting down, and that was like taking my time, 5 hours of just like pure Lego bliss.
Mm-hmm.
I got a kick because it's a 677 part set, no numbers on the bags. So I'm just picturing casuals who are just Wall-E fans buying it and just sweating at this massive pile of yellow and gray bricks.
That's the way Lego used to be, man.
It's surprising to me, though, like, given, like, you know, my limited experience, like, it seems like they really just, it felt like it was a bullet point in the design doc. Once you go past this parts count, it's got to be numbered bags.
Yeah, like, yeah, I've got things that are, like, I don't know, like 300 pieces, maybe even less than that, might only be two bags, but they're numbered.
Yeah, it's Lego ideas and some techniques and some others, once it gets up into the, like, you should be buying this as an adult and it's not, you know, the odds of kids getting it are slim to none.
Yeah, well, I don't mean so much as a kid thing, but, like, when you do things for Lego ideas, you're reaching an audience you don't normally reach that's not used to things like that. Like, so I kind of expect a little bit of hand-holding.
No, Lego ideas is supposed to be the top end, not the bottom end, man.
Okay, point.
I collect Mega Blocks. Hi. What? So how's Wall-E?
Wall-E is really, really good. Like, just as a built Wall-E, it's a really nice size. Like, the fact that the main body of it is hollow means, like, at that part count, he's going to be bigger than you would normally think.
Yeah.
Like, and he does have a lot of the little things that you would expect. Like, his eyes tilt, his neck is articulated a bunch of places. Like ball jointed shoulders, rolling treads, the door in the front opens up and all that. Like, and like little touches, like a lot of little decals and details from the movie are represented. It's all printed, by the way, no sticker. He's got the plant to hold. I like that they tried really hard to put in his little, his pet cockroach, which breaks down to a black 2x1 panel and one lever on top of it. That's your cockroach.
Proper. Sorry, I can dig that.
That's about how tiny he was in the movie, though. So, like, I'll go with it.
Yeah.
But there's also little things, like his arms have, like, at the shoulder, it's ball jointed at the shoulder, but inside the torso there's a slide, and they actually put this little rubbery piece and a rail inside, so the arm can move back and forth, like forward and back across the body, and there's friction to it, so it holds in place.
I don't know much about Wall-E yet, because I still haven't seen the movie, so... I only have a tertiary idea of what it's actually doing.
You literally hurt me with that.
Oh, I...
Literally, like, I felt pain.
You know the last time we talked about how many of those movies by Pixar I haven't seen yet? That still hasn't changed. So, welcome to my nightmare. Yeah.
But there's other things, too. Like, they got the round... Like, these round sections in the back. The presser for his, like... His compactor on the inside. Like, so there's, like... faux pistons in the back that's all layered up. Man, that's like, I'm at a loss for, like, how many good things to say about this. And some of the most fun building I've ever had. Like, when you build the eyes, there's a point where it says, okay, use this little black peg to plug this brick piece into this brick piece. Now turn the whole thing 90 degrees, start building sideways, and now the parts on the side are going to connect to the bottom is going to connect to the side, now the top is going to connect to this side. And all of a sudden I'm building all the way around this, so every single, like, the entirety of his head, everything around it, there's not a stud showing. Like, there's barely any studs left on him. It's an incredibly smooth build once you're done. But there's some portions where it's just nothing like another Lego set I've built. Like, they went through, like, so many lengths to make sure this was, like, as smooth and accurate as they could get it in Lego brick form. What I like is the guy who submitted the design is the guy is one of the animators from the movie.
Right.
That's the thing that's making me interested in that set, despite not having seen the film. I don't know if I'll do it, but it sounds like the kind of set where I probably should just pick it up if I see it, because it might get Mars rovered.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell, because I know everyone's kind of clamoring for it now, but it just came out, so you know, everyone's going to be hyped for it for now.
Yeah.
But, you know,
was it the Mars rover? Am I thinking of the right one? Or was it a moon thing?
But there is the Mars rover, the Curiosity rover.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that.
That's sitting right there.
The thing that I missed out on and that I found out about right after the window when I probably could have found it.
Yeah.
Man.
I had more fun building this than I did some of the modulars.
Cool.
It was this really, really cool toy to build. Just because it's Wall-E, this little junky robot, it's kind of appropriate to actually sit there and build one.
Yeah. That's excellent. I'm excited to see that thing in person at some point. Anything else off topic on your end?
Not a whole lot. Like, nothing really worth talking about. Like, I bought a little Marvel Lego set, but that's just because it had a little Carnage in it.
Mm-hmm.
I've reached that point in my Legoing where I will buy a set just because it's got one minifig in it.
Yep, I almost did that for, I think, that Carnage and the previous Venom. I didn't, but I almost did.
There's part of me that's really hoping one day I have the whole Maximum Carnage crew just sitting on a shelf someday, but, like, there's next to no chance of any of his, like, cohorts coming out.
I want to believe that someday Lego Doppelganger is within our reach.
Lego Doppelganger. Like, Lego Carrion, I think, is way more unlikely.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right. Just bring me Doppelganger and I'll be happy. As far as the digging around in my West Coast stuff, the main thing I've been messing around with is I found the things that I ordered in this big spurt after getting review copies of two of them way, way back, and then, like, hardly ever mess with them, but the Gundam 00 Robot Damashii figures are still such fun designs and, like, neat toys. For a show I have absolutely no intention of ever going to watch after trying to watch it for, like, 7 episodes. So I just have these, like, goofy, like, supercar, like characterful Gundam suits that have things like a backpack that turns into a little Gundam. And I don't know why any of it does that, but I kind of am relishing that lack of knowing why. So I'm messing around with them again, seeing if I still kind of like them. I do. Two of them have got really weird, like, dried mold release speckling all over them. Which I believe was a thing back then. I just have to wash them because they're Robot Damashii. There's no actual metal in them. I've been too lazy to wash the mold release off my toys. But aside from that, that's about it for the What We Got stuff. So I think that wraps it up for this somewhat shorter, but compact and punchy 372. Here at WTF at TFW. Thank you, Aaron and TJ, for accommodating all of my weird schedule stuff and occasional lack of communication.
Hey, again, yeah, that's all right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there. Support is appreciated on this end and also on the end of all our listeners. The absolute zero of people saying, hey, yo, where's the podcast? God damn it. Was really great. Not just from the podcast listeners, but even on YouTube. Like, just it seemed like just even though people did not know, because a whole bunch of people didn't know, they just somehow things aligned where I never really had to look and see something calling me out for something that I still don't really like, that I kind of wasn't continuing with my exercise of creating media content in my spare time. while this stuff was going down, because I have been off and on, and it's been a wonderful thing to do here and there. Like it really was helpful to keep my head level and all of that. So hopefully we'll be back on track in some way. Also, I'm also kind of enjoying the shakeup of some of our podcast formatting as a result of this, and it's making me think about things we could do to just tweak how we do things and play around with it some more. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's all fluid. It's all part of the Nexus, man. It's the cosmos, the Milky Way, dropping onto the Oreo cookie of the human condition. We'll be back with some more podcasting after this one. So stay tuned for that, and stay cosmic, man.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.